Last week, in recognition of February being Black History Month, we recognize the accomplishments of NASA astronaut and proponent of science for kids Leland Melvin. Today, we honor the Greensboro Four. They were Joseph McNeil, Franklin McCain, Ezell Blair Jr., and David Richmond, all Black students at North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University in their freshman year. They often met in their dorm rooms to discuss what they could do to stand against segregation. They were inspired by Martin Luther King Jr. and his practice of nonviolent protest. Specifically, they wanted to change the segregational policies of the Woolworth store in Greensboro, North Carolina. During Christmas vacation in 1959, McNeil attempted to buy a hot dog at the Greensboro Greyhound Lines bus station, but was refused service. Shortly thereafter, the four men decided it was time to take action against segregation. They came up with a simple plan. They would occupy seats at the Woolworth Company store, asked to be served, and when they were, well, inevitably denied service, they would not leave. They would repeat this process every day for as long as it would take. The goal was to attract widespread media attention to the issue, forcing the store to implement desegregation. So on February 1st, 1960, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, the four sat down at the 66-seat L-shaped stainless steel lunch counter inside the Woolworth store, which is at 132 South Elm Street in Greensboro, North Carolina. Ford purchased toothpaste and other products from a desegregated counter at the store. Didn't have any problems doing that, but then they were refused service at the store's lunch counter when they asked for a cup of coffee. According to a witness, a white waitress told the boys, "We don't serve Negroes here." Leonard responded, "He was just served 2 feet away," to which the waitress replied, "Negroes eat at the other end." African-American girl who was cleaning behind the counter called them stupid, ignorant rabble-rousers and troublemakers. Another African-American told them, "You're just hurting race relations by sitting there." However, an elderly white woman told them, "I am just so proud of you. My only regret is that you didn't do this 10 or 15 years ago." Store manager came over, asked them to leave, and when they wouldn't budge, called the supervisor and told them, they'll soon give up, leave, and be forgotten. Don't bet on that. Store manager allowed the students to stay, didn't call the police to evict them. The four young men stayed until the store closed at night, and then went back to North Carolina A&T University campus, where they recruited more students. Joined the next morning, which takes us to February 2nd, 1960, more than 20 Black students recruited from other campus groups joined the sit-in. Group sat with schoolwork to stay busy from 11 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon. Group was again refused service when they were harassed by white customers at the store. However, the sit-ins made local news on the second day. Reporters, TV camera, police officers present throughout the day, back on campus at night. The Student Executive Committee for Justice was organized, and the committee sent a letter asking the president of the Woolworth Company to take a firm stand to eliminate discrimination. We turn the calendar to February 3rd, 1960. The number grew to over 60. Woolworth National Headquarters said the company would abide by, quote, local custom and maintain its segregation policy. So what happened on February 4th in 1960? More than 300 people took part. We move to Saturday, February 6, 1960. More than 1,000 protesters, along with counter-protesters, packed themselves into the store by noon. Around 1 o'clock, a bomb threat set for 1:30 was delivered by a phone call to the store that caused the protesters to head over to another store, which immediately closed, along with the Woolworth store. On March 16, President Dwight Eisenhower expressed his concern for those who were fighting for their human and civil rights, saying that he was deeply sympathetic with the efforts of any group to enjoy the rights of equality that they are guaranteed by the Constitution. This movement, started by four young Black men, wound up spreading to other southern cities, protesting for equality in other forms of public accommodation like transports, facilities, swimming pools, lunch counters, libraries, art galleries, parks, beaches, museums. Students began a far-reaching boycott of stores, with segregated lunch counter sales at the boycotted stores dropped by a third, leading their owners to abandon segregation policies. On July 25, 1960, after nearly $200,000 in losses, which in current dollars would put at about $1.9 million, and reduction in salary for not meeting sales goals, the store manager of the Greensboro Woolworth store asked the four Black employees to change out of their work clothes, order a meal at the counter. They were quietly the first to be served at a Woolworth lunch counter. Most stores were soon desegregated after that. And of course, in 1964, we had the Civil Rights Act mandating desegregation in public accommodations. So again, more than three cheers to the Greensboro Four, Joseph McNeil, Franklin McCain, Ezra Blair Jr., and David Richmond. That is what you call true leadership.